Satan has waged war on all of us. Not just those of us who are members of the body of Christ, but those of us who are living and breathing. That includes every single individual in the world. For from the time we are born, Satan is placing an attack on us, and that attack and that battleground is our minds. That's why I chose the scripture reading to be Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Because I know, and I've read several books, everything that happens to us and with us, about us, around us, has either a positive or a negative effect on our minds, what we think about, how we, our disposition, how we reason, our logic. I heard it said before that children or people respond to the expectations of their environment. People do what they do, whether it be positively or whether it be for the worse, whether it be negative, whether it be bad, hate, envy, jealousy, strife, murder. Everything that you see going on around you is a result of something that's going on within someone. Everything that you see going on within the jail cell, the prison system, in the church, certain dispositions in the church, certain attitudes that you see out and about, certain policies that are being put forth in legislation, whatever it might be, it all starts here. It's a symptom of something that's going on here. When you see someone strung out on drugs, it's a symptom. When you see a child acting up in school, acting up in class, it's a symptom. There's something that's deeply rooted within them that's causing them to behave in such a way or such a manner as they're behaving. Okay? So I want us to really think about that. Think about how serious the mind is. The body does whatever the mind tells it. If your mind tells your toes to wiggle, they will wiggle. If your mind tells your mouth to speak, it will do such. There's a quote, I can't think of the name, but there's a famous quote, go way back. Someone like Plato or someone, but it says, open up thy mouth that I might see thee. As a man thinks in his heart, his mouth speaks. Okay? So what that's saying is, the moment you begin to speak, that allows me or that gives me a glimpse of what's going on in your mind. So the battlefield is in the mind. Once we know where our battlefield takes place, and once we know who our enemy is, we can better approach the situation to do what? Adjust, to renew, to balance, to get it on the right track, and so forth. I want to define the word renewal. It means the replacing or repairing of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. In the Greek, the term renewal means to change across from one form to another. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from, kind of like a caterpillar transitioning from the state of a caterpillar to a butterfly. It says make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. We have to understand that in order for us to get to heaven, in order for us to be who God truly wants us to be, it starts in the mind. If the mind does not change, your actions will not change. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Look at verse 2. In between, crouched in between two verses, you see verse 1, the first half, and then you see verse 2, the not being conformed and transformed. And then at the end, it says, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then verse 1, it says, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. your body is not going to become a living sacrifice. One, you're not going to be acceptable by God or holy. Two, and you're not going to be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, unless you get the first part of verse 2 right. Not being conformed, but being transformed. See, it could have started off with be conformed. The verse could have started off with, the verse 1 could have said, do not be conformed, but be transformed, that you may be acceptable. See, you could have put that at first and let everything else come behind. But he has this profound message crouched in between two of God's requirements. And it starts with what? The mind. Either we're conforming or we're transforming. See, some of us as Christians, we believe, and even those of us who may not be Christians, we may believe that we can, you know, gain a certain level of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and we can get in God's word, or we can change a little bit, and we can stay right there. It's kind of like money. Think about money. Money's active. Money's moving. It's always on the go. Unless you deliberately make a decision, a conscientious decision, to do or to make the money work how you want it to work, it's going to go bye-bye. Going to go bye-bye because what? It's needed. Unless you just put it buried somewhere and you just live up under a bridge or something like that, then, I mean, you can try to, you know, you can preserve it then. Just let it sit somewhere, bury it, you know, the talent. Bury, get your talent, just bury it. Then, okay, it'll be there. But we don't work like that. We don't operate that like that. Therefore, the money is going to go unless we make a conscientious decision, a deliberate action to make the money work how we want it to work and do what we tell it to do, right? I've been listening to Dave Ramsey. That's all that is. I don't know anything about no money. I don't have enough to know. But I'm learning. But watch this. Either you're transforming or you're conforming. Your mind is either going backwards or forwards. There's no in between, kind of like that money. Unless you make deliberate action and a conscientious decision to budget what's going on in your mind, it's going to be bankrupt, period. Some of y'all got a little money. I need to borrow a little bit, and then we can discuss that, and I'll show you how to work that out with me. Budget, putting me in your budget, you know, we can do that. But anyway, I'm sure you get what I'm saying. Battlefield, mind, transform, and we can be somebody. We can do something. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, verses 8 through 9. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's condition. That's a condition. Do these things and this will be, and God will grant you peace, right? But watch this. At verse 8. When it says whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, it says think on these things. What does that denote? We can control our thoughts, doesn't it? Think on these things. Some people think, you know, as you're going along in your Christian life, as you're walking and you're growing, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. He's going to begin to transform your mind. And, you know, it's going to come with the word. And you're going to come to the maturity of the faith. And you're going to grow. I hear this a lot in the religious world. And they somehow think that without studying God's word, applying God's word, that the Holy Spirit somehow, separate and apart from God's word, is going to literally come into you and begin to transform your mind. Does it work like that? It doesn't work like that. That's why the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. That's how it comes. How are they going to call on Jesus unless someone is preached? That tells me that the word is very powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your mind is not going to transform without applying the word of God. You can think on these things, but it has to be deliberate action. And think about it. Around us in society, Satan utilizes certain influences. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, right? He has all of these different influences around us trying to get us to do what? not think on things that are commendable, things that are pure, things that are faith, things that are godly, things that are holy. It's always in constant battle for our minds. We have to deliberately take action. And when I preached this lesson, I preached it. The lesson was actually for me. I was going to preach on brotherly love. Then I thought to myself, I need to preach and need to rehearse this. And if I get a few amens from a couple brothers to make me convince me to do everything I'm saying. And it works. Because while I'm sitting here telling you what it is that you need to do, and I'm talking about the battlefield, I'm reminding myself, looking at you, I'm looking at the mirror. See, when I think, I'm looking at this as a mirror. And when I preach this, I'm reading it, and then I'm thinking to myself, am I thinking on things that are pure? Am I thinking on things that are lovely? Am I thinking on things that are commendable? Is there any excellence? Am I thinking on these things? I have to ask myself that. What are threats? What are some threats to these things? Bad company. Bad company ruins good morals. If I'm around bad company, if I'm associate myself with different people who have thoughts or belief systems that's not like mine and it's totally world and it's totally of this world, conform to this world, then that's opposition. That's bullets that are spiritual warfare bullets that are coming at me to stop me from thinking about these things. So what must I do? I must rearrange this or remove something so that I can continue to do this. Every movie, not all of them, some of them, most of them, movies, radio, television, everything you watch, everything we have been seeing lately, especially lately, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, it's been going on for a long time, but we're beginning to become desensitized, and we come to a point where we don't realize how much damage is being done to our minds. Amen. And if we're not careful, we will begin to slip back, or we will begin to restructure our thought process. And before long, we're like that frog. I always do the frog in the pot. You know, before long, he'll be on fire without him even knowing, because it slowly cranks up. And we have to be aware of this. Your mind, when you first become a Christian and you begin to study, you're studying and you're reading and you're learning and your mind, you're getting renewed. And what and sometimes what happens is the influences begin to come into our lives piece by piece, little by little. Certain people, certain images, certain things, certain words, certain ideologies, certain ideas, certain concepts. And before long, we can be so far behind that we don't even recognize how far we're behind until we're placed in a situation and we don't respond how we're supposed to respond. You say, no, where in the world did that come from? Then you find yourself coming up to the front talking about, y'all, please pray for me, church, help me, please. That's true. Why? Because when you don't think about what you're thinking about and you're not aware and you're not deliberate about what you think about, your mind it's always evolving. It's a living organism. So many thoughts, so much information is going through our minds that if we're not careful, it'll slip away from us before it's too late. And you'll end up with a big mess in all aspects of your life, in the eldership, preaching, amongst the membership, the saints, in your marriage, your children, society, the home, the structure, everything. You know why elders don't last? Because they start off with the right foot. And when they start, you know, they get in the office and everything's right. And I'm going to be all I can be for the Lord. And before long, their minds stop becoming renewed. And you can get complacent and indifferent really fast. And your whole mind begins to restructure. And you're little by little, over time, it creeps up. Preachers, why do they lose their job? Why do they lose certain things? Why can you hear about certain religious people doing certain things that are way off the wall? Yeah, they know God academically. I know God academically. I know what Romans chapter 12 says. I know what Galatians 3 says. I know what Ephesians chapter 6 says. I know the weapons of our warfare are not, you know, they're not carnal. I know all of these things, but I can know God academically. But if I'm not applying the word to my life, if I'm not looking in this mirror and seeing what's wrong with my mind or what's good about my mind and thinking about what I'm thinking about, if I'm not doing this, before long I can get in a position and I know everything, you know, academically, but I'm not transforming. And because I'm not transforming, there's going to be inconsistencies, and sooner or later they're going to do what? They're going to manifest. They're going to come out. And you're going to be in a certain situation, and it's going to come out. And it can cause a whole church to be split. It can cause relationships to be severed. It can cause elderships to be split. It can cause us to be up at the front every week. It can cause us to fall away from Christ. The reason why you have new converts and they're not here anymore, people wonder, dang, they baptized, they ain't coming, you know, they was coming and they was doing all right, but I don't see them anymore. Why don't you see them anymore? The battle has just started. Wars take time. When you fighting a war and the war's on your mind, see, Brother Melvin, Brother Steve, Brother Aaron, all the other preachers, we can't preach everything in one sermon and just, you know, tell them about the transforming of the mind. I might be preaching on a Sabbath day this week, so the new convert, that's why we got to stay on, because the new convert, they're listening, and they heard the Sabbath day. Yeah, we know the Sabbath day. They know the Sabbath day is not anymore. They with you. Got to be baptized. But do they know how to deal with the situations that they're faced with when they go home and they got parents around them who are cursing and who are talking to them any kind of way, and the next room, family members on dope, and you go down the street and they're faced with certain things in the park, and you got the Muslims down on the street and they talking and they telling them something. And then you got the Jehovah Witness down there. I just be at the laundromat. They down there converting people and coming at them. What, you know? And then they got other people and we're not on them. Their mind's not getting transformed. When you remove certain things and you get people to the knowledge that they need to be saved and, you know, they need to transform their mind, I can tell you to transform your mind and that you need to come to services, but that's just the start of the battle. We got to keep up with it. Why? And this is not even my sermon, but it ties in because it's important about, because it's geared for everyone. Okay, and when you think about the new converts, I really feel for new converts, because their mind is, you know, some of us, we've been in the church, we've been, you know, we've been in the doctrine, we've been in the truth for a long time, and so we get it, we understand. So it's hard for the devil to come at us in some way, but think about a fragile baby and how innocent they are and how easy it is for their minds to be shaped and molded and transformed in a certain way. Get what I'm saying? The reason why they're not coming back is because their minds were not transformed. The soil, the roots didn't go deep enough. And guess what? If our roots are not deep enough, when the white wind blows our way, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be like those new converts. I don't care how long you've been in here. Period. Paul say, Demas, in love with this present world, has forsaken me. He forsook Paul, knowing what Paul was, knowing who he was, knew what he was standing for. He watched the miracles. But because his mind wasn't transformed, it wasn't being conformed. It was being conformed to the world still while he was with Paul. Sometimes we say, well, man, if I was with Paul and I was sitting, no. Think about that. He was with the Apostle Paul, and because his mind was being conformed to the world in the midst of the apostle, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived on earth. And the devil was what? In his mind, working. And it manifested himself when Paul needed him most. We got to be careful. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to move along. Let me go ahead and go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. And this Paul, right into the church at Ephesus. And he says, to put off. How do we transfer our minds? To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. We have to know, we have to understand that the way we used to think, or the way some of us think now, if it doesn't line up to the word, our old self, our former manner, or it might be our present manner for some of us today. I'm talking about Christians. Former manner, it should be former manner, but sometimes it's still present in some ways, many ways, of life, and it's corrupt and deceitful through deceitful desires. You have to come to the realization that the way you used to think or the way you may think right now can be corrupt, or it was corrupt, deceitful. Once you realize that, if you're in that state right now, you can realize, if you can read God's word and you can honestly see that your mindset or your mind state or your state of mind is corrupt through deceitful desires, you can acknowledge that, you can begin to transform. But again, it's going to take deliberate action. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Paul knew that this is where it begins. That's why when he said that corrupt desires be renewed, that's the only way you're going to be a better Christian. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Once you put it on, watch this. See this? Renewed in the spirit of your minds, verse 24, and to put on. So he says, put off, put on. What happens if we put off but we don't put on? Something else fill the gap. Something else gonna fill the gap. You dig a ditch, you don't fill it back up with something, something else gonna get in there. Either the dirt gonna go back in, or the rain gonna mush it up and it's gonna get all back flat, or some bugs gonna create a little mound and put a little house there, or a mold or something gonna get in there. So you remember the demons in the Gospels, and he talks about the demon, you know, he's being cast out, you know, the house swept. But he goes back and he goes get seven more demons more powerful than himself. And then he come back and the state of that man was worse than the one before. So what we have to do is we have to remember that once we're putting off and we're getting this new knowledge, or once we begin to put off, or we come to the realization that, hey, I'm thinking and it's messed up the way I'm thinking, it's messed up the way I act or I react, my disposition is screwed up. Once we come to that realization, then we need to put the word of God into it. Meditate on his word day and night, Psalm 1:1 through about 4, that you might be like that tree planted by rivers of living water that cannot be moved. The only way you can do that is if you put off and put on. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. Put off bad, put on good. Put off evil, put on righteousness. And I'm not talking about in the water graves of baptism. That's just the beginning. Baptism is just the beginning. When you come up out of that water, the journey's just beginning. You have to constantly be transforming. That don't happen overnight. I'm still transforming. The problem is not the process. The problem is when the process stops and we no longer care and we no longer try. That's when it gets ugly. That's when it gets scary. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The point's still the same. It says, if then, but we can put there since then, because that was the truism. When he says, if then you have been raised, he was writing to the church of Colossians, so we know that they were raised. We know he was writing to Christians. We know that they were baptized to rise in the newness of life. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You know how most of the doctrines that are created today, because they're worried about the world and they're setting their minds on the things of the world. Think about it. Premillennialism. Christ coming to set a kingdom. Christ said, my kingdom not on this world. When he come back, we're going to be in the Lord. We're going to be in the air with the Lord where we'll always be. Everybody, they still hold on to the world. We're going to be here in the renewed earth, and, you know, we're going to be living with one another. They still own the world. They like this flesh. That's why their doctrine revolves around the flesh. Because they still focused on the world. They focused on the wrong thing. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to think about heavenly things. You still worry about Christ coming back down and reigning on earth and overcoming Rome and all this kind of stuff, and America and all this kind of stuff. Your mind already in the wrong place. Another thing is, we know it manifests itself. Y'all hear me talking. I know y'all hear me talking. And I want to be up here for another hour. I keep you all day, but I know you got to go to work, got kids, school just starting, all that. For real. But listen, it manifests itself. It's easy for us to agree, shake our head, say amen. It's real easy to do that. That's easy. I can do that. You get up here, I can do that. Come up here and pray. I can do that. Amen. I can do that. That's good. But I know you know. You know what I'm talking about. But watch this. It manifests itself. What we care about what we spend most of our time doing tells us or manifests itself to God and to us about what we have our minds on. I had a brother in Christ. I ain't going to say his name. Bless his heart. He has certain issues, but I love him to death. But I'm not going to say his name, but I love him. I want y'all to know I love him. We working with him. But he say,
brother, how you?
You know, we missed you the other night at the Bible study. I'm just giving y'all an example. This is the example where it manifests itself, when you're not transforming your mind or when you don't grasp certain things. He said, brother, why wouldn't you know we had the Bible study at home? And he said, why you didn't make it? He said, well, the Louisville game came on. And the brother said, but the Louisville game, well, we having Bible study. He said, but it's Louisville. See what I'm saying? See, we laughing, but it might not be Louisville. It might be something else in our life. It might be something else in our life.
Amen.
See, a lot of us, we don't understand the importance of being renewed in the spirit of our minds. So we wondering why, you know, certain people don't show up for evening service, or we wonder why certain people don't show up for 7:30 Bible study, or we wonder why certain people are not growing how they should. It's all about whether it manifests itself. We need to figure out how to get them from setting their minds on things of the earth and get them to the transition point to where they know how to set their minds on the things of heaven. And in order for you to come to that realization, you have to understand that this Bible is real. See, a lot of people, they, you know, when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God, or when, we talk about it and we say, I believe in God. Well, if the more you believe, or the stronger your faith, the more committed you are, the more you will know how important it is to constantly be around brethren, or constantly be filling your word, your mind with things of God, or surrounding yourselves around people of God. That's the only way your mind is going to be transformed, period. If you're wondering, if you're sitting in your seat and you're wondering, man, how come I can't grow? How come I have the same mindset and I've been in the church for 20 years and I can't grow? You got to believe this stuff. You got to really believe this stuff. We fold up. I've been dealing with anxiety a month back, and it comes from not having my faith as strong as it needs to be. I wasn't spending enough time in God's word. Therefore, the devil got in. Doubting got in. Lack of faith got in. If you really, truly believe that the Lord is your light and your salvation, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, when you get in a situation of want, it's going to manifest itself, and you're going to see what you're talking about. It's going to put you to the test. Let me keep going. Benefits of a renewed mind. And this is a subject we can go on and on and on about, because we deal with it every day. Benefits of a renewed mind. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. When our mind is stayed on God and we're constantly meditating on God's word, how can we not be peaceful? The only way we can get in a state of uneasiness or in a state of distress is if we allow the cares of this world to get a hold of us, or the fear of death, or the fear of sickness, or the fear of what can happen to us. You know, a lot of women deal with a lot of fear, certain things. A lot of women, you know, and men, you know, we watch TV and you see so much on the news. And I got a sister in Florida, you know, she watches a lot of things, and sometimes fear can come over her, and she's, no, lock the door, lock the window. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, my wife like that. You know, keep me safe. That'll keep us safe. But think about how many times you really got knocked upside your head, or somebody came and ran into you, or did anything you feared. Think about how many times that happened. Now, some things happened to me. I should be really locking my door. Certain stuff happened to me. But think about it. When your mind is on Jesus and on God, and you think about Paul and Peter and all the persecutions and the stonings and the beatings I was going to say lynching. There wasn't no lynching back then. But 50s and 60s, they went through it then. Even in the early, you know, in the state of America, in the early state, you know how they can endure that? And you know how they can continue to preach the word of God? You know how they can continue to keep their minds on Jesus? or how they can continue trusting? Because their minds are set on things that are above. You know how if a brother or sister can hurt you and really do something to you, you know what can make you and cause you to understand that you need to have a mind open for reconciliation and forgiveness? You know how you can come to that realization? By realizing this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. By realizing that the enemy is not of this flesh, but against what? Principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Once you understand that this flesh is temporary, once you understand that it's about keeping your mind on things that are above, it's easy to forgive. It ain't about you know how. It's about the Lord. I forgive you. Now come on to the, we having a little chicken and barbecue in the backyard. If you can't do that, especially to a brother or a sister, that tells me something about where your mind is set, what your mind is set on. Think about how many churches are split up because of that. It's because of a lack of a renewed mind. Reconcile with your brother. Reconcile with your sister. Seek it. Seek it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. When did he give us that spirit? For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. How can I have a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control? When I'm renewing my mind and focusing on what God wants me to focus on. That's the only way you can be at peace and not fear. He was speaking of evangelism then. In the context, he was talking about evangelism. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we need to walk and we need to go evangelize and give the gospel to the people that need it. It becomes easy when you understand that. And the only way you cannot have a spirit of fear is if your mind is being renewed. If your mind is the same way, then you're not going to talk to anybody. You're not going to talk to anybody. You're not going to hand out a card. You're not going to walk. When people walk by, you're just going to keep letting them walk by. And you will never, ever, 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 ever win anybody to Christ or convert anybody to Christ. Why? Because you're not focused on God. Your mind is still conformed to the world. You're still not looking at the big picture. You're still not seeing what's really going on out here. You're looking through the world with carnal lenses instead of looking. When you walk out that door, look at the world just like Christ seen it. He looked at them and he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The only way you can think it like that is what? Your mind has to be renewed. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 20 through 24. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Verse 21, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Sound wisdom and discretion. Walking in his knowledge. Those things only happen, those benefits only happen. The lying down and the not being afraid and the sleep, peace, the peace, sleep, and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't happen unless you apply knowledge and you gain knowledge and you have wisdom and you have discretion and you know what's going on in the world. What are some consequences if our minds are not being renewed? What are the consequences? James chapter 1, verse 8, our prayer life. If you're double-minded and your mind is not renewed and it's not being transformed, then you're going to doubt. You're going to fear. Okay? Verse 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? How is he thinking? Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How do you become unstable in all your ways and be double-minded? By not being transformed. Period. Romans 1, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. To do what, Paul? To do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. This is the problem with the West End. I'm not going to pick on the West End. This is the problem with America. But the reason why I said West End, because, or West Louisville, some people like to be politically correct, West Louisville, or Newburgh, or the East End, or any end in the world. What's wrong with Chicago? What's wrong with East St. Louis? What's wrong with South Florida? What's wrong with Atlanta? What's wrong with California? What's wrong with New York? How does New York? I was just watching a little boy, and I'm closing. Please help me. I'm closing. I haven't preached in a long time, y'all. Pray for me. For real. Seriously. But I love y'all. I know y'all love me too. How I was watching something on Facebook the other day in New York City. And this goes to show us what happens when your mind's not transformed and you're not focused on God. Okay? When a young man, 12 years old, 13 years old, is in the streets of New York. They did it for a demonstration. They did it as a demonstration, okay? He's in the street. It's 5 degrees outside, okay? He has a plastic bag, no jacket, and he has a T-shirt. And it's midday, and people are walking past him, zooming past him in New York City, and nobody stopped one time to help this young man, to give him a coat. They walk around Louis Vuitton. You know, they just walk. He's shivering. Then at one point, he fall down, lay up, and wrap up in the plastic bag. Everybody walk around looking at him like, what's going on? And they steady kept going. A homeless man came up to him and said, what's going on, man? Took his jacket off, put his jacket on him. Yeah, man, what's going on? Where your family at? Again, it was a demonstration. They were trying to see. The homeless man didn't know. But the people who, little brother was, they knew. They were just trying to see how people react, how cold people were. In New York City, the Big Apple. They walked right past him. The homeless man came, gave him his jacket, reached in his pocket. He homeless, and gave him some money to eat. Then his brothers came and gave, and they said, hey, this is a demonstration. We just wanted to see how many people was going to walk by our little brother before they gave him a coat. And they gave him $500. And then they gave another one, reached out of their pocket, gave him a wad of money and say, you have a blessed day. We appreciate what you did. What's my point? See, y'all like, ooh, that's a sad story. Them people cold. What's the point? Another story, New York City. Somebody, it was a demonstration. A young woman was being raped in the corner. People walking by, shoo, shoo. He over there grabbing her, pushing her down. Everybody walking by, dang my business, I'm going straight. How does that happen? How does that happen? Where am I at? They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. How does that happen? Not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guess what? You can do the same thing and you will be the same way. Like brother at South End, he's been preaching on mercy. How can we truly have mercy? When we see somebody, mercy is seeing something and not saying, I'm going to pray for you or man, poor thing. Mercy is stepping in and making action to change the situation from a bad one to a good one, like the Good Samaritan. The only way you can do that is if you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think bad about the people of New York, because if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're not transforming our minds, think about how many people we walk by. Think about our mindset. Think about how cold we have become to certain issues. And guess what? I think some of us in the body of Christ are being cold and not recognizing. See, that young man, that young boy, He was sick. He was cold, physically speaking. And everybody was walking by him. But how many of us are walking by people who are sick, spiritually speaking, who are weak, spiritually speaking, who are cold, spiritually speaking, who are naked, spiritually speaking, who are not clothed in their right mind, spiritually speaking, and we walk right on by and we don't even give them a jacket? What's the jacket? The gospel is the power unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We know different. See, now when I put it in the spiritual mind, you're like, man, I'm cold too. I'm pretty cold. See, we'll restructure it and we'll get you to think about it. It's bad. It's easy for us to look at the physical things and be like, oh man, wow, why would they do that? But then when you put it around spiritual, just like Jesus told one of the churches of Asia Minor, y'all got a reputation to be alive, but y'all dead. Spiritual. When we put ourselves, see, we have a higher calling. We need to help out with the flesh part too. But we got a higher call, spiritual. Let's make sure our minds are being transformed. I'm closing. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, we never close our lessons out without giving you a proper understanding of how to be saved, how to get in the boat, how to get inside the spiritual ark, which is the church. People will tell you all different kind of ways to get in the church, the body of Christ. They'll tell you to go around the corner, jump three times, clap your hands, and come back around the building. Look at God's word. In the church of Christ, in the body of Christ, we call a lot of things, but nobody ever tells us that we don't go to the word and we try to prove what it is. They can call us a lot of things. They can call us a cult. They can call us legalists. But guess what? Is it in the word or not? Period. If it's not in the word, then okay, we'll be that. But if you can find it in these scriptures, then do what you need to do. The word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, to believe that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you confess him to be such, that you will be saved. But guess what? Saving faith is an obedient faith. Regardless of what they tell you, faith coupled with obedience is necessary. James says we're not saved by faith alone, but by works. Okay? The Bible also tells us to repent and be baptized so that our sins may be forgiven. Acts 2:38. Some versions may say, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But guess what? It don't stop there. In order to walk in faith, in order to, you want to believe, you want to confess, you want to repent, you want to be baptized. But once you're baptized, the journey don't stop there. You have to continue to renew. You have to continue to transform. And once you do that, then you can be holy and acceptable, blameless before God. You do that, and we'll hold your hand and we'll walk with you. And if they don't walk with you, get my number. Period. Okay? And if you're a brother or a sister here and you need to repent, or if you've already repented and you're taking that to God, or you need prayers of the saints, please come as we stand together and sing.